A terrorist attack in Pakistan yesterday killed at least 70 people, injured hundreds more. The suicide bomb explosion detonated in a park in the city of Lahore, and Reuters reported that many of the casualties included women and children. The news agency also said a faction of the Taliban claimed responsibility for the attack, saying Christians were the main target. The tragic attack did lead some newscasts here in the U.S., but it didn't garner the mass media attention that ISIS attacks in Belgium did last week. On Tuesday morning, explosions in a section of the airport and metro station in Brussels killed 35 people, wounded over 300 more. These attacks dominated cable news and other media outlets for the better part of last week. Our next guest says there's an imaginary red line when it comes to terror attacks internationally that leads to differences in media coverage of those attacks in different parts of the world. Joe Concha joins us now. He's a columnist for Mediaite. Joe, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Robert, thanks for having me. Can I call you Robert?
Sure, yeah. Rob works too. Tell us about this red line idea, Joe. Where is this sort of hypothetical line when it comes to how the media covers terrorist attacks?
I wish I can tell you exactly where it is. It's somewhere where the Middle East starts, I think. Anything west of there, if there is a terror attack, rightly, there is wall-to-wall coverage. We saw it with Paris. We saw it with Brussels. Certainly it was all justified given the death toll and the fact that we don't see attacks on soft targets like that from terror groups all that often. But we've seen it with Charlie Hebdo and obviously what happened in November at that rock concert hall outside a soccer stadium and outside of a cafe where 130 people were killed. Brussels, same deal. You're getting attacks not on airplanes but before security. In an airport, soft target, people killed there by two suicide bombers, and then obviously what happened in the subway as well. So yes, that's big news, and no one begrudges covering that. But it was interesting that Turkey's attacks earlier this month on March 19th and March 13th, where more people died than people had perished in Brussels, and you hate to keep scoring these sort of things, and please, I don't want anybody to think that I'm insensitive in that regard, but that barely got any coverage because that is beyond that imaginary red line that we talked about earlier. It's over there. But Turkey is interesting, Rob, because it is a NATO country. It is visited by 42 million people per year. It's the sixth most popular tourist destination in the world. And two Americans were killed in those Turkey attacks. But I'm telling you, probably a lot of people in your audience right now are listening saying, there were attacks in Turkey? I really didn't hear much about that. So I found it interesting that I get it completely when there's an attack in Baghdad or Damascus or anywhere in Syria that it's not going to get coverage because that those are basically war zones. But when it happens in Turkey, which is a free market society that is a member of NATO, where two Americans are killed, and there wasn't as much coverage around that, it baffles me as to why that didn't get the coverage that Brussels did.
So is there a sense, do you think, that we want to hear the Europe story because we see Europeans as like us or closer to being like us than even not far from Western Europe over in Turkey?
I'm afraid so. I think there is a skin color aspect to this. Look at what goes on in Africa under Boko Haram, and they've killed more people than ISIS has, or at least that was the last stats that we have on such a thing. In 2014, they killed something like 6,900 people, and ISIS took 6,600 lives. But because it happens in Africa, which is on, again, that other side of that red line, wherever that may be, we don't cover it as much because, well, these are people that really aren't people we can relate to in terms of maybe its color of skin, maybe the fact there's no oil there. I'm not quite sure, or maybe it just happens so often that we're numb by it, and then we say, you know what, let's just concentrate on Western civilization as opposed to Middle East and in Africa, where it's just a mess and there's nothing we could really do about it. I know that sounds callous. That's not my view. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you about trying to get into the heads of the people that make these decisions as far as whether to cover it, and audiences, more importantly, who just don't really seem to care all that much what happens in those parts of the world.
Yeah, what does it do to us when we have the focus? I mean, we understand that if there's an attack, you know, San Bernardino in the United States, American media will focus on that. How does it skew our understanding of the world if we pay a lot of attention to that attack in Paris or Brussels, not as much to that attack in Turkey or in Africa or Pakistan?
Well, I think that it skews it in a sense where, ISIS is metastasizing, and it obviously is growing in scope and in terms of the type of neighborhoods that it's infiltrating outside of Paris or in Brussels or even in the United States, you can make an argument for. And I think we always thought that that sort of stuff happened on another side of the world, and only once in a while would it come to Western civilization, and okay, we'll deal with it if it only happens once in a while, but it seems to be happening more and more, so I think we should be paying more attention attention to what goes on in these places, because those types of people that are attacking there are now realizing that they can make a lot more waves if they attack Western targets. Easy to attack Western targets with people that are willing to strap bombs to themselves and blow themselves up. How do you stop that? I really have no idea, quite frankly. I was in an airport in New York at LaGuardia Airport, and I was waiting to go through security, and the security line was maybe 20 feet from one of the main entrances from the street. And all I was doing, to be quite honest with you, I'm not the type of person who thinks about this stuff very often, but it was the day after Brussels, and you couldn't help but think about it. I kept looking for people walking through those doors, carrying a luggage carrier with one left black glove on their hands, you know, the dead man's trigger, because I'm thinking, wow, there are 50 people sitting in a line right now, and somebody could just walk into here and just blow everything up, and there are people there with AK-47s, military people, they can't stop them. So it's a scary world we live in right now, and unfortunately what used to happen over there, over that red line, is happening more on this red line, but the media coverage doesn't quite match it.
Talking to Joe Concha about media coverage of terrorist attacks, so why we see more coverage here in the U.S. of something that might happen in Western Europe, in France, and Belgium, then a similar attack, maybe even a more deadly attack in Turkey, in Africa, in Pakistan has happened this weekend. You can join in, by the way, with your questions, your thoughts on this. Do you think it's bad that we have this imbalance in the way we cover things? You can call in at 800-642-1234. Joe, I'll throw another maybe theory at you about why we pay more attention to there in Europe. We see it maybe as a society like ours with a security apparatus like ours, like something that might be perceived as a target by ISIS like we would. So if it can happen there, it makes it more likely that it would happen here in a way that we wouldn't think that about attacks elsewhere in the world.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. The Turkey always throws me off because Istanbul, I don't know if you've ever visited, but it's a very kind of Western-feeling city. So, again, with two Americans being killed there, I'm just shocked that, you know, I'd love to hear from your callers whether they heard about those attacks or not, or if they did, if it was just a fleeting kind of event in terms of coverage. What happened in Pakistan yesterday, that was certainly something that got some coverage, but it's already kind of gone away, and that was 70 dead, including 29 children that were just playing in a park on Easter Sunday, Christians that were targeted, and for whatever reason, that no one's rushing to send over an Aaron Burnett from CNN or a Shepard Smith from Fox to Pakistan to cover that, because again, that's an over there type of scenario. So, but I agree with your theory though that yes, Belgium is a lot like, let's say, New York, or Paris is a lot like New York, and it's the same type of security. I would say in New York, it's probably much more strong. I work there every day, but still, again, when you're a soft target, I don't see what stops somebody if they want to kill you and they're willing to take their own lives, how you can stop them if they put their mind to it. And it's a scary, scary proposition.
Well, Joe, I think about social media. After the attacks in Paris, I think we saw some in Brussels too, a lot of hashtags or images that people shared a lot here in the U.S. I have seen people on social media say, okay, so why not, I stand with Turkey, or, you know, when these attacks happen. So there's a debate in some ways, not criticizing that people make those positive gestures in Europe, but why don't they in other countries? So social media reflects the old-fashioned media in some ways.
Yeah, you're exactly right about that. You don't see too many hashtags like we did after Charlie Hebdo, for instance, right? We did with Boko Haram for a little bit, courtesy of the First Lady. And I forget what the hashtag was exactly, but it kind of got ridiculed. It's like, oh, yeah, hashtag's going to make Boko Haram.
Save our girls, I think it was, right?
That's right, yeah. Exactly. Bring back our girls.
That was it.
To that extent, yes. So, but it's interesting you mentioned social media, because we're dealing with a terrorist enemy that, for the first time, has a very sophisticated media arm. Right, I mean, ISIS was able to celebrate Brussels literally minutes after it happened. They're sending out propaganda video all the time. They're using social media to recruit, as opposed to actually having to physically meet anybody, or at least even influence those that are willing to act on their behalf without any sort of training over in Syria or Iraq. So it's social media is really benefiting ISIS right now, and we're not doing very much to counter it in terms of propaganda of our own to make sure that these young people that are being swayed by ISIS via social media don't end up joining or at least acting on their behalf. And I think that's what happened in San Bernardino. I think that wasn't so much that anybody, you know, was under strict training, but more maybe influenced at least at first by social media before going over to overseas and then coming back. So that's another aspect of this, that you don't need to physically meet the head of ISIS or the head of ISIS training in order to act on behalf of ISIS, and that's because of social media.
Let's bring on our first caller now. Saeed is with us in Green Bay. Saeed, hi.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. I think this imbalance you're talking about is not anything new, and in the net, it has a very detrimental effect on American understanding of this problem fundamentally. So let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. It wasn't until 9/11 that we became aware of that in a broad way in the United States and started talking about it. Yet this problem has been going on for a long, long time. And in 1979, the Islamist takeover of Iran had a very detrimental effect on that society. You know, people suffered tremendously, and that was unreported and still remains unreported. This is why you get the emergence of people like Donald Trump that blame all Muslims for the problems of the very few. And fundamentally, this is an issue between within Islam, between backward-looking, I hesitate to use the term fundamentalist because I don't want to concede the fundamentals of the religion to them, but political, those who use Islam as a political tool, and the more mainstream, moderate Muslims who have struggled with this for a very long time. And that issue, so underreported, and the suffering of the people in the Middle East at the hands of these extremists, so underreported.
Saeed, thanks a lot for the call. And Joe, making the case that, if we're only paying attention when a group like ISIS attacks Europeans, we lose sight of the fact that Muslims suffer at their hands as much, actually probably more.
Oh, yes, absolutely. ISIS has killed more Muslims than any sort of drones or bombs that we've used by a long shot, right? Unless you conform to their very strict, very narrow ideology, then, yeah, they will start, they'll behead you. I know I read something last week where a 7-year-old, was beheaded because he missed morning prayer. I mean, it's crazy, and you're right. That part doesn't get reported as well. It's something that we only concentrate on the Westerners of Brussels, of Paris, and we don't talk about the Muslims that are being executed on a daily basis in Iraq and Syria. It's just a horrible thing.
Talking to Joe Concha from Mediaite. He's a columnist there. He wrote a piece recently about the difference in media coverage of terrorist attacks in the Western world, United States, Europe in particular, and in other parts of the globe. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see this difference in how the media covers terrorist attacks, depending on where they happen? What, if anything, should the media change about how it covers terrorist attacks? What would you like to see done differently in that media coverage? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We pick up our discussion now with Joe Concha of Mediaite about the difference in how the media covers terrorist attacks in the West versus coverage of these attacks in the rest of the world. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts. Do you think any particular outlets do a better job of providing in-depth coverage when that terrorist attack isn't in Paris, say, or Brussels, but in Turkey, in Pakistan, in Africa? Call now at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Back to our callers now with Amy on the line in Appleton. Amy, hi.
Hi. I listen to the BBC World Service at night quite a bit, and I feel that a lot of the coverage below that red line we're discussing has a great deal to do with the leaders of those countries. I know Erdogan in Turkey has a stranglehold on anything that goes out. He's taken over the papers and the radio and everything else. And I think some of the leaders of Nigeria, for instance, you know, some of those men that run those countries don't want anyone to think things are as bad as they are, and they have a complete stranglehold in the news. BBC World Service complains about that quite a bit.
Amy, thanks for the call. What do you think, Joe?
That's a very excellent point, and I'll tell you why. So I talked about how 42 million people visited Turkey last year in 2015, they're already seeing a drop in tourism this year of about 6 or 7%, and that's mainly because there's been 6 terror attacks there over the last year. And certainly, when you're the 6th most visited country in the world, that's good money for your tourism business, and therefore, obviously, your country. And some countries depend a lot more on tourism than, like, say, in Italy, for instance, than we realize. Probably want to make sure that everything's fine here. You'll be safe if you come. But as far as letting news get out, it's going to get out because of social media, right? I mean, you can't block that. And the Turkey story was reported. I think my point was that it would maybe got 1/30th the coverage that Brussels did, despite the fact that 2 Americans died in Brussels and 2 Americans died in Istanbul. But again, it was over there and not over here, so that's why it got much less coverage.
Amy, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Caitlin on the line in Madison. Caitlin, hi.
Hi. I guess my point is maybe this is a symptom of a larger problem where, unlike publicly funded media, we have advertisers that are funding news coverage, and thus the audience gets to dictate a lot of what's actually reported. So things like Kim Kardashian take precedence over attacks in Turkey, for instance.
But Caitlin, we do pay a lot of attention to attacks in Paris or Brussels, though. So it's more than just pop culture stuff crowding out those attacks, don't you think?
True. I would agree with that sentiment, but I guess my larger point is that the audience is dictating news coverage instead of an editorial board. They're not the ones setting the agenda, the audience is.
Gotcha. Interesting, Caitlin. So if people aren't clicking on that story about Pakistan, maybe we don't post another story on Pakistan, Joe.
Yeah, supply and demand, right? So I think Pakistan probably isn't as good an example as Turkey because there had been more terror attacks there, and they've obviously that's where Osama bin Laden was caught, and there's a big problem with the Taliban over there, clearly. They're the ones who carried out this attack yesterday. But to the corporate media incentive is the best way I could put it, Si, that was just broached. Yeah, I mean, our major media outlets here are corporate owned. They have shareholders to respond back to that they have to deliver for. And if Donald Trump, for instance, is bringing big ratings, and he is, every time he speaks, there's an uptick, or every debate that he's been in, they've doubled and tripled their numbers from 2012 or 2008. They're going to pay attention to a Trump, not because he's the most newsworthy guy. Yeah, he's a GOP frontrunner, but it's been so disproportionate in terms of the way he's been covered, not because he's the most interesting guy in the world, but because audiences are clamoring for it, and corporate media is simply giving them what they want because that means higher ratings. Higher ratings mean higher ad rates. Higher ad rates mean better stock price. So, yeah, that does play a role, no question about it.
Thanks for the call, Caitlin. We're talking to Joe Concha, columnist for Mediaite, about coverage of terrorist attacks around the world. In a recent piece, he wonders why we pay so much more attention in our American media to an attack in Western Europe than just about anywhere else on the planet. Back to our callers now with Randy on the line in Middleton. Randy, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. This is very insightful here. However, I think it's way too early to make any intelligent analysis of media coverage of the Pakistan attack. And there tends to be a template that, with so many media critics, that say we get all excited about any attack in Europe or the West, and they just kind of yawn about the attacks in Asia and third world. And I think there's a lot of other things that work there. And one of them, somebody has already talked about. In Turkey, it's very hard to get the press in there. And I imagine it's quite a bit harder to get the press in Pakistan. You can get reporters to Brussels and Paris relatively easy. And so they can give first-hand accounts, whereas I think you're getting a lot of second-hand coverage of the other places. I think that's partly just a matter of where you have your people allocated.
Randy, thanks a lot for the call. But I guess, Joe, the other thought there is, why do we have more resources allocated to Europe in the first place than the other countries we're talking about?
Right. Yeah, you helped make my point for me, and it's a good point. You know, it's harder to get a reporter into Islamabad, for instance, or Lahore than say Brussels. I totally get that. It's much further away. Obviously, there's a cost aspect as well, and yeah, it's not quite as friendly to journalists, and maybe a lot of journalists don't want to go there anyway, given what happened to Daniel Pearl and so on. It's not exactly what people are running for, but I would like to just see at least an attempt made. You know, I mean, you can report from Istanbul if CNN wants to go there and Jeff Zucker wants to send Aaron Burnett there, he can get her over there. Or if Roger Ailes wants to get Shep Smith into Istanbul, same deal. But the attempt isn't even made because I think the calculation is that the audience is going to see that, say, Turkey, predominantly a Muslim country, that stuff happens there all the time, and the low information audience just says, nah, I'm not really interested. But Brussels, oh, I was going to go on vacation there next year. That affects me. Maybe I want to see a little bit more of that. So that's my two cents on that one.
Randy, thanks for the call. Joe, thanks, in our Randy. Last couple minutes, what's your prescription? What would you tell the editor, the producer who's making these decisions?
I would say that this is an important story, that sometimes we can't be totally ratings-driven. And just to try to – I know it's never going to – Paris is never going to match Pakistan if the attacks are the same. I totally get that. But the fact that it's – from what I've seen, and I can't quantify it right now, but by the end of the week I'll probably have strong numbers on this, at least try to cover it, you know, half as much, or at least a quarter as much, but it's like 1/10 as much, 1/20 as much. Boko Haram, barely. I bet you could ask 100 people on the street who they are, and 80 of them won't be able to identify them. And they're the most deadly terror group out there right now, and somebody that we should be something we should be paying attention to. So all I'm saying is make more of an effort. I understand there are ratings and there's profits involved, but let's make more of an effort because these are important things. And again, what's happening over there is happening over here more, and we better be paying more attention what's happening over there before it starts happening over here more, so we have a better understanding of who the enemy is and what their goal is.
And we've heard from some listeners who agree with you. Briefly, as we wrap up, do you think what would they do to encourage their media outlets to do more on this?
Social media. It's great. Before, you used to have to, you know, take out a pen or a typewriter and write a letter and hope that, you know, somebody read it when you sent it in to a news station or to a newspaper. And now with social media, you could get in touch with reporters directly. You could get in touch with producers or even the people that run these networks pretty easily. And they all read this stuff, believe it or not. You'd be surprised. So social media is the megaphone to voice your concerns or what you want to see more on television. And trust me, those executives and those reporters, they're paying attention.
Joe, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it.
That's Joe Concha. He's a columnist at Mediaite with us to talk about the differences in how the media is covering terrorist attacks in Belgium and in Pakistan. We've got a piece he wrote, by the way, linked on the Central Time Facebook page.